Hello. It's Father Jim. We've reached the last Sunday of Advent. Christmas is coming near. And what is the sign? Isaiah says, the show's going to go on. You thought there'd be no more kings in Israel. Well, I'm telling you, somebody's with a child, and she'll give birth to a son who'll be called Emmanuel. Emmanuel, with us, El, God. We're dealing with Matthew's Gospel this year in the Sunday readings, and Matthew was writing for Jewish converts, and he's anxious to show us that our Lord is the fulfillment of all the law and the prophets. So his Gospel, between the infancy narrative and the passion narrative, is really five books of sayings and doings, because a new Moses is here, who went up the mountain of Beatitudes to proclaim a new, deeper covenant. You've heard that it was said of old, you shall, but I say to you. You've heard that it was said of old, but I say to you. It's a gospel full of prophecies. And in the infancy narrative, the Annunciation is made not to Mary, but to Joseph. First of all, in his dream, the angel appears to him and says, do not be afraid, just as Gabriel said to Mary, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. She's conceived what is in her by the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine Our Lady going into Sainsbury's or Tesco's or Asda's, looking pregnant, and people saying, oh, you're only betrothed to Joseph. And she said, oh no, actually, this is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine what the locals would say? In some cultures, she could be stoned to death for being pregnant and unmarried. Joseph gave her a good name. Wow. Perhaps he was only 16, like a young, good-looking, handsome Palestinians, as they all are. Mary was perhaps about 15. And having taken on this amazing fact that Mary was pregnant, they then were refugees. They had to go to Bethlehem to get an identity card. They found no room. No room in the hotel, I'm afraid, but down below in the caves, made out of this lovely pink limestone rock, that's where the animals stay, in the basement of the hotel. We can put you up there with some straw. And the first courtiers who came to the King of Kings weren't the VIPs. They were the peasants, the shepherds. And then they were refugees to Egypt. Oh, what care Joseph must have had to get her to Bethlehem in her state of health, and then soon after the birth to go rushing off to Egypt across the Sinai Desert. And then was happy to take them home to Nazareth, where he was terribly proud, I'm sure, that Jesus was known as the son of the carpenter. And there, it seems as though he must have taught our Lord how to earn his living. And then when our Lord was 12, the anxiety of our Lord seemed to have disappeared, and they found him in the temple. You know, they were searching for him. And after that, we won't hear of St. Joseph. Now, if St. Joseph looked like some of our statues of him, he looks as though he's 80, holding a lily, absolute drip, our Lord would have had the most frightful psychological problem if the father figure in the family looked as damp, if not as wet, as that. And yet our Lord could relate to men and women, rich and poor. All one can say is, St. Joseph must have been the most amazing father figure. It's by the fruits that you know him. And then, not having heard of St. Joseph anymore, we wonder whether Our Lady must have brought our Lord up, at least from the age of 12, as a single parent family. Oh, all you people out there who seem to be living anomalous lives, be grateful that you love each other, whether you fit into convenient compartments as far as civil and church society goes. Retain your dignity, and especially those of you who are bringing up children as one-parent families. Good luck to you. I pray for you, I thank your heroes and heroines. Amen.